The book of Acts, chapter 20 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 20, verse 1, and after the uproar had ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone through those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there he abode 3 months. Paul is on his third missionary journey. And he visits Athens and Corinth. And during these 3 months, he also wrote the New Testament book of Romans. So you have an idea where we are in the biblical timeline. Verse 3 again, and there he abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail for Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. More of the same. Another ambush was planned against Paul. So he changed his plans. Had to. You know, God gives us common sense, and it is biblical to use it. 4. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and from Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And verse 5 says, these men, going ahead, tarried for us at Troas. The 7 men who traveled with Paul were representatives of their individual churches who were bringing offerings to the struggling church in Jerusalem. 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and joined them 5 days later at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Took 5 days to travel 150 miles from Philippi to Troas. 5 days. Today it would take 20 minutes by plane. Maybe 2.5 hours by car. And instantly by TV, radio, and internet. We have an amazing opportunity today to get out the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says, it says, to whom much is given, much is expected. So we would be wise to use our opportunities, the opportunities that God gives us. 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And this was actually a Saturday night service, because the first day of the week began at sundown Saturday evening. When the church met, they were taught the Word of God, and they had Holy Communion. Verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, having fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long in preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third floor and was taken up dead. The windows were open in this room because there were many lamps and many people, and I suppose it would get very hot and stuffy in that room if the windows were closed. Anyway, right in the middle of Paul's teaching, this man who's sitting in the windowsill falls asleep, falls out of the window, and hits the ground dead. Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. There's no big deal, is what Paul is saying. Don't worry about it, he's alive. Well, he was dead, but his life is back in him. So this is a resurrection miracle. 11. When he therefore had come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked for a long while, even until break of the day, he departed. So the man was raised from the dead. The Christians continued on with their service. That's pretty neat, just sort of like in a matter-of-fact way, we got to hear the Word of God. They had communion, and Paul preached until morning. What a hunger the people had for the Word of God here. What a great thing. Verse 12. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Paul left, but the message concerning Jesus Christ would stick with the people. The message was great by itself, as the Word of God always is. But then, that message definitely was confirmed by the raising of this man from the dead. Every time someone saw that man, they would be reminded that they had the truth. No wonder everyone was so happy. In this fallen world, truth is a great thing to have. 13. And we went ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, there intending to take aboard Paul. For so had he arranged, intending himself to go on foot. Luke and the others sailed to Assos, but not Paul. He didn't sail, he walked. He probably didn't want to miss any opportunity to do some street witnessing along the way. And it doesn't matter how you get out the Word of God, but get out the Word of God some way. I think Paul was always looking for ways to get out the Word of God, and every Christian is called to proclaim the Bible. Or at the very least, help someone who does proclaim it. 14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and arrived the next day off Chios. And the next day we arrived in Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail past Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he was in haste that it might be possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. And he knew that stopping at Ephesus would put an end to that plan. It would take too long to say goodbye to all his friends in that place. And we can't have everything, you know. Sometimes we must prayerfully choose between good and bad, and good and better, and sometimes we must choose between better and best. 18. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, in what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord in all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me through the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ, not of himself. He wasn't even primarily a servant of the people. of Christians. Consequently, he didn't withhold truth, even if he or his listeners felt uncomfortable with it. Being a servant of Jesus means you will faithfully speak the truth, even when it makes you or those you care about uncomfortable. And we hope we can avoid that, but we can't always. 22. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I go unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Paul was being drawn by the Holy Spirit to the city of Jerusalem. Consequently, he had to go, or he would grieve the Holy Spirit, and he wouldn't do that. Paul would go, and he says, not knowing what awaited him there. But chances are it would not be all good. In fact, he remembers what's going to be waiting him there. Look at 23. Except that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. He did know that. And there you have it. He didn't know what awaited him in Jerusalem, but on the other hand, he did. Trouble. Trouble. God told him jail and suffering for the sake of Christ is what he was going to experience. 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's life was irrelevant as far as he was concerned. He wasn't worried about himself. That's something. His life was irrelevant as far as he was concerned. He wasn't worried about himself. And if that sounds extreme, and I'll bet you it does, to many, then that just proves how far we have slipped away from God's standard of self-evaluation, especially in evangelicalism. 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. And it's a sad thing when you're saying goodbye to someone for the final time, at least in this life. And that's something we will probably all go through if we haven't already. It's something that Paul and the Ephesian elders are experiencing right here. 26. Therefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, Paul says, none of you can blame me if you end up in hell. I've preached the entire word of God the best I could, and I didn't hold anything back, so I'm clear of all blame for the souls of those I have spoken to. 27. For I have not shrunk from declaring unto you all the counsel of God. Now, no one can force others to accept the word of God. And you shouldn't even try, because Jesus didn't try to do that. But no preacher has the right to deny people an opportunity to hear it either. And I'm talking about all of it. Paul did his job. He gave out the whole truth. Those who do not preach the Bible clearly, but hold back in order to be liked, share in the guilt of damned souls.